Blog Talk Radio.
Journey with Janine, we call it Simplify.
I think that there's a time in your life when you realize that whatever it is that is eating you, whatever it is that you're running from, whatever it is that you're afraid of, you just have to stop, take a deep breath, turn around, and face it. Face it. Stick your arms out as wide as you can and embrace it. Hold on real tight. You see, the tighter you hold on to it, the smaller it gets. And you just embrace it and embrace it until you find yourself embracing yourself. Then you can move on with peace of mind and all that stuff. Just leave it behind. Sometimes you won't understand why life is the way it is. Things don't always go the way you plan them, but I believe God and time are synonymous, and through time God reveals all things. You gotta be attention. I carried me to safety, knowing that I go back to the same place again and again. Lord, no one could ever love me the way that you do. In spirit, mind, and body, I surrender myself daily to you. Oh, and I just want to testify. I got to testify. I just want to testify. Oh, amazing grace saved my life. So sweet the journey when you learn to love yourself, accept yourself, forgive yourself, believe in yourself, be yourself, yeah. With amazing grace as your constant friend. Say, I am free of anger, I am free of fear, and my mind is at ease. I don't regret a single yesterday, because yesterday made me who I am today. Yeah, I just want to testify, my mind is strong. I just got to testify, I can see, I can see. I just want to testify, amazing grace saved my life. I got to testify, oh, 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 oh.
Testify, testify.
Welcome to another episode of The Love Journey, Your Love Experience with Janine and Ingram, and that was Diane Reeves, Testify. Yes. All right, family, we're going to get ready and turn within, recognizing that there is only one power and one presence in this whole universe. And on this line, we recognize this great spirit that is known by many names. And on this line, we call it God. The good, the omnipotent, everywhere present, knowing that there is not a spot that our God is not. And so as we come into center to become very intentional about the breath, you know, sometimes we forget to breathe, family. You know, there's power in the breath. So we want to just become very intentional. Begin by taking in a deep breath, breathing in through your nose, hold it to the point of vibration, hold it to the count of eight, then release the breath. Family, I want you to breathe deep into the diaphragm and deep into the heart. And together, we become still. I want you to just be still. Be still and know that I am God. Breathe. And release. Be still and know that I am God. Let's breathe again. And release. Family, sometimes we forget to breathe. I want you to breathe again and remember to be intentional about having gratitude as you breathe in. Move from your head into your heart and just say, thank you, God. Come on, family, be still and know that I am God. Breathe. And release. And last time, sometimes we forget to breathe. Breathe, family. Be still and know that I am God. Breathe. And release. And last time, breathe, family. Be still and know that I am God. Breathe. And release. Divine Mother, Father, God, as we prepare ourselves this day to open ourselves to the present of the gift of this day, we give thanks. As we listen to Ayana, release us from any strongholds about finances. As we remove any information, any data, and any stories we tell ourselves about money, put ourselves to receive all of God's goodness as we hear.
Day 10. A prayer of forgiveness. I forgive myself for judging my relationship with money. I now consciously and willingly call forth the Holy Spirit and the consciousness of the higher mind I am into every cell, every atom, every molecule, every tissue, every organ, every muscle and every living system in my being, asking to have transformed every energy, every pattern, every belief, every program, every idea, every attitude, every perception, every expectation, every intention, and every behavior and motivation related to money, wealth, and abundance, bringing it into alignment with the perfect will of God. I now consciously and willingly call forth the Holy Spirit and the consciousness of the higher mind I am into every atom, every molecule, every cell, every tissue, every organ, every muscle, and every living system in my being, asking to have transformed every energy, every pattern, every belief, every program, every idea, every attitude, every perception, every expectation, every intention, and every behavior and motivation related to money, bringing it into alignment with the perfect peace of God. I now consciously and willingly call forth the Holy Spirit and the consciousness of the higher mind I am into every atom, every molecule, every cell, every tissue, every organ, every muscle, and every living system in my being, asking to have transformed every energy, every pattern, every belief, every program, every idea, every attitude, every perception, every expectation, every intention, and every behavior and motivation related to money, bringing it into perfect alignment with the perfect love of God. For this I am so grateful, and so it is. Today, I forgive myself for judging my relationship with money.
Amen. Thank you, God. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for the opportunity to be in relationship with our money, Holy Spirit. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. As we are reminded today that money is another form of energy. And what is energy? Energy is just how everything vibrates. It's a frequency level. And whatever level of money we want to vibrate on, that's the experience we want to have. Know that you have the power to vibrate at that level today. Build, know, and own your relationship to money. God is good. I tell you, money is amazing. I mean, today is Millionaire Mind Conversation Cafe. And we're going to start off with a little Reverend Knight before we hear. Let me see. Before we get started this morning. I tell you, I'm always excited to hear Reverend Knight. Because, you know, Reverend Knight reminds us that anything that we desire, as long as we use our spiritual tools, is right there at our, what? Ability to create. And we are creators this morning, family. Creators, yes, yes. We are creators. And we get to create this beautiful, amazing life. I tell you, it gets better and better, especially when you become very intentional. There's so many reverence. Like, let me see. Sanctify your mind. We're going to do sanctify your mind. No, we're going to do the magic. Let's see what the magic is.
You know, having problems with money does not always mean that you lack money. A lot of people who have a lot of material money have a lot of problems with it. And, you know, that's the reason sometimes people will say, oh, no, I don't think I want a lot of money because I've seen people with a lot of money have a lot of problems with it. Well, I'll tell you, I'd rather have the problems of having money than the problems of not having it. You hear the old jingle, things go better with coke, things go better with money, even trouble. Even trouble goes better with money. So don't knock money. You see, that's another thing. And this is why you need to get the Master of Money course, because it tells you things to say about money and things that you're never to say about money. By the way, I'm going to give you this word. Here is a terrible word that a lot of people, almost everybody, uses concerning money that you need to wash right out of your vocabulary. Are you ready for this one? Okay, put it on the board for me, Terry. Write it big. You are never, ever again to say this about money. You can write it right under there, right on the side somewhere. Never again say spend money. Spend means it's gone. I've gotten rid of it. I'm not going to see it anymore. Is that what I've been saying? Yes. When you say spend, as long as the thought is formed in your mind, spend money, you are dismissing money from you. You're saying, get out of here, money. Don't ever think that way again. Now, let's have some confession and absolution here. Yes, we do have confession here, but we don't let you come into a booth and do it. You get your sins forgiven right out before everybody. How many of you used to use the term spend money? Let's see your hands. Don't do that anymore. Shake your head and look at the next person and say, don't do that anymore. Whenever Jesus healed someone, he would say, now go and sin
no more.
See, don't sin against money anymore. Now let's get into very briefly the semantics of circulating money. And I'm even going to give you something to put in your checkbook, something to say whenever you use money, whenever you pay money, so that it'll come back to you. Now, that tells us what circulate means. To circulate means what? Return to point of origin. Say that with me. Circulate means return to point of origin. All of the money that I use returns to me multiplied in a never-ending cycle of increase and enjoyment, thank God. That's a part of what I say at the offering at my church in New York. Oh, by the way, you may use the term concerning money used, but I prefer circulate. You see, this way you've always got a hold of your money. It never gets away. It circulates. It goes over there and pays your light bill and comes back and brings more with it. Woo! Isn't that wonderful? Come on, stand up. We're going to talk to money right now. See, that's another thing, you know. Think of money as a psychic entity. Talk to it. Reverend Knight says that money has ears. Not only that, did you know that money is a woman? Somewhere in Reverend Ike's book, there's that old Irish proverb. And money swore an oath that nobody who did not love her would ever have her. So money is sensitive. It's sensitive to what you think. It's sensitive to what you say. You say, oh, my God, I'm spending my money. It says, bye, fool. And you know what they say about a fool and his money? Uh-huh. Okay. All right. We're going to find a way to apply this. Now listen. We're going to speak in other tongues about money. From this moment on, we're going to speak in other tongues about money. What are we never going to say again about money?
Yes.
Never. Ever. Okay, come on, let's make a declaration. Come on, you get your foot stomping here. Right here and right now. I cleanse my speech about money.
I cleanse my speech about money.
I'll never again say that old dirty word about spending money.
I'll never again say that old dirty word about spending money.
From this moment on, I will not spend my money. I circulate my money.
I circulate my money.
The money that I pay my bills with.
I circulate
it. Whatever I do with money, I circulate it. And it returns to me multiplied. In a never-ending cycle of increase and enjoyment.
Thank God.
All right, give yourselves a hand for that.
Wow, that was some good stuff. That's the magic of money by Reverend Knight. You tuned in to the Love Journey, Your Love Experience with Janine and Ingram. Today is Millionaire Mind Conversation Cafe, and we're reading from the book called Abundance Now. And this book is written by Lisa Nichols, and it's a New York Times bestselling book. And this book is about us amplifying our life and achieve prosperity today. And we're in the four E's, and we're going to be talking about that second E, finishing up and chanting it, family. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. And this book gives actionable plans, real life case studies, and make clear what we must do every day to attract abundance and how to act as if we were already leading that abundant lives. Are you ready to take the vision off the vision board and put it in your driveway, family? Are you ready to take the vision off the vision board and put it in your bank account? Come on, family, we about to do this thing. 2018 is around the corner. We can't keep playing with this stuff. We got to play full out. And I want us to also play full out in our money. We're going to be reading from The Science of the Mind as we get ready to bring in our Millionaire Cafe. You know, we're going to stop and read from The Science of the Mind. You know, this is a mind science thing. This is the game of the mind, family. And in order to change our life, we got to change our mind. You know, it's really interesting. When I think about Albert Einstein he said, in order, I want you to think about this and marinate on this today. In order to change a situation, we can go in with the same mindset that created the situation. So if we knew how to be rich or be whatever it is that we wanted it to be, guess what? We would already be it, right? So it's important that we work on the mind so that we can create and magnetize into our life those things we desire. I want you, if you're in Chicago and you got some time tomorrow, stop by Dr. Johnny Coleman's, well, Christ Universal Temple tomorrow. They're going to be airing the movie around 12 o'clock called The As a Man Thinkers, and it's going to be a very good movie. They said it's a documentary about the science of the mind, and it's going to be some amazing. I've never saw it. I didn't even know they had one, so I'm super excited about going to see it. And if you are in the Chi area, that means Chicagoland area, and you're not busy at in the afternoon, and you want to get a little science of the mind, come see the documentary As a Man Thinketh. That's going to be tomorrow, Saturday, right here in Chicago, 11901 South Loomis Avenue at Christ Universal Temple. And I'm sure you don't want to miss this opportunity. But, of course, you know, if you don't get to make it, I will share. And maybe it might even be on Netflix. You know, you never know what's on Netflix. All right, family, today I'm going to be reading from the Science of Mind magazine. And we're going to be, do you know that we're almost at the end of the month? Oh, my God, it's almost over. We're going to be going into November time for Thanksgiving. And guess what? My favorite time of the year, family. I love to play Christmas music. Oh, okay. Today is Friday, and today is certain of the outcome. That's what the Science of the Mind is about today, certain of the outcome. We're going to be talking about the law. Another principle we must know, use, and come to understand is that a treatment rightfully given is absolutely independent of every theory of physical cause and effect, of psychic cause and effect or psychosomatic relationships. Now, remember I told you what a treatment was. Remember what Reverend Ike just did when we all said together a certain words, that's called a treatment. So we just gave ourselves a money treatment, a prosperity treatment. And they say here, what we must know, use, and come to understand is that a treatment rightfully given is absolutely independent of anything that is physical. The law is aware only in a mechanical way. It knows what it is doing, but it doesn't know it is doing it, what it is doing, nor why. Electricity doesn't know that it produces light. When you plant a potato, should a potato know it is a potato? It might protest and say it wanted to be something else. But the potato, however, cannot be something else. Because why? The law always functions in a certain way. We have the privilege of personal communion with spirit and the authority to use the law. But the assumption is not ours personally. We use the law much in the same manner as we would when we throw a rock off a cliff. Will it or will it not strike the bottom? It will, unless something interferes with it. We must have assurance to in our authority to use the law, but not by arrogance of putting on a peculiar look or thinking we must be spiritual geniuses, but maybe we already are. I don't know. I hope we are, but we must always know that law is the servant of the spirit. Let me say that again. We must always know that law is the servant of the spirit as we learn to know how it works, and we must never be talked out of the knowledge by any living soul. This comes from a lecture called the Seminar Lectures, and it's on page 195. Today's affirmation is, the still small voice to which I listen tells me that God's being is my life. The still small voice to which I listen tells me that God is being my life. All right, family. Well, that's the Science of the Mind, and we're going to get ready and open up. Guess what? We're opening up, family. We're opening up to the Millionaire Mind Conversation Cafe. We're bringing in our very own sister, Chastity A. Wales, this morning. And she
which towards the light.
Go ahead and play a song while she's talking.
Yeah.
There've been so many things that held us down, but now it looks like things are finally coming around. I know we've got a long, long way to go, and where we'll end up, I don't know. But we won't let nothing hold us back. We're putting ourselves together, we're polishing up our act. If you've never been held down before, I know you refuse to be held down anymore.
All right, put your hands together.
Happy Friday, family. Happy Friday, Love Journey. Happy Friday to everyone. I am Chastity A. Wells. I'm excited to be here. I love listening to my song. Thank you so much, Denise. And we are continuing on in Millionaire Mind Conversation Cafe with our book, Abundance Now, by Lisa Nichols. And in this chapter of the book, if you haven't been present with us, if it's your first time, welcome. If you have been reading along with us, welcome back. But we're still in chapter 3, the second E, which is enchantment of your life relationships. And that's where we're actually talking about building greater relationships and purposeful and meaningful relationships. Just to recap last week, if you were not able to be here, last week was really a powerful week, just talking about benefiting with new relationships through acts of service, understanding the importance of that. And Lisa gave us a quote: when you reflect on your life journey, you'll clearly see that the moments when you're most alive are the moments when you love the deepest, laugh the loudest, dance the hardest, and forgave the quickest. And I thought that that was really powerful and just a great way just to remind us this morning just to live our deepest and most truest part of ourselves, to love deep, to laugh loud, dance hard, and forgive the quickest. And one of the biggest things I think that we had left off with last week and caused us to really have a really long conversation after we did this segment, Janine, was choosing people who make us stand on our tippy toes. And that did evoke a lot for conversation-wise that everyone was able to actually share in that. And that's just being very intentional about the people we decide to form new relationships with. And just taking it even further, just getting people that cause us to stretch and grow, cause people, be around people who inspire us to be a bigger person simply by being in their presence, right? And that was a powerful, powerful point for us all to look at. And that was a really powerful point we're actually able to just look at and just reflect in our own lives. Is just having people within our lives where them being, not just a person. We have coaches. We have all these different types of people in our lives. And that's great, right? However, but just having our inner circle, our circle of people who, them just being them, just being the great people that they are, they cause us to actually look at our own lives and how we're showing up and just being accountable. And I used you, Janine, as an example, since everyone do know you, just in different things that I stay accountable to, you know, writing letters and working on the personal financial goals that I have set. And I have someone different for each thing in my life that causes me to remind myself to stretch myself even further. And really working on those rocket booster relationships, right? Because that's very, very, very important for all of us, is just working on those rocket booster relationships. And those are the people that make us feel, from a scale to 1 to 10, like a 7 to 10, those are rocket booster relationships. Those are the ones we really want to spend our most time with. And so today we're going to pick up, and this may be a subject that most people absolutely love, because it seems like it's just a favorite amongst a lot of grown people. And that's what we'll pick up today on types of romantic relationships. There's three different types of romantic relationships. There's a lifetime, life-giving, and a purposeful relationship. When it comes to your romantic relationships, you'll discover that there are different levels of support, awareness, growth, and your romantic partners, all of which affect you and your ability to grow into an abundant life you want. One thing that I was actually able to relate to Lisa in this was when she said, I've been in romantic relationships where my mediocrity was welcomed, but my brilliance was not. In those moments, I was playing small. I was adored, loved, and celebrated. In my genius moments, I was made to feel like I was standing too tall and maybe too happy in a relationship. To have peace of mind, I would have to constantly dim my light. So I had to limit myself. I'm sure many people can relate to relationships like that, especially our romantic relationships. My belief at that time was that I did not want to outgrow the relationship, and I found myself constantly crouching down in order to stay in the relationship. I came into the relationship already too big for the relationship. I was running too fast, growing too much, and sowing too many seeds for my future. While my girlfriends lovingly pointed this out, what I really felt is that I was being forced to choose between my relationship and my life assignment. Of course, none of it was done with malicious intent on the part of my romantic partners at the time. With the consciousness of minimizing my greatness, decidedly unconscious response fueled by a mindset of scarcity and lack that these men were living in. Rein her in was the unconscious response of these men in my life. And I just really wanted to read that and just certain parts of it, because for me, I really was able to identify with that. And I'm sure many other people on the line will be able to identify with that, being in relationships where you feel like, you know, you don't want to be too great. You don't want to seem like you're pursuing your goals at such a rapid rate, and the other person looking at you crazy, you know, like, well, who you think you are, or whatever the case may be. And a lot of times it is very unconscious. It's not many times people are willing to admit, you know, I made you drop out of school because I don't want you to be no good or nothing else like that. It's just an unconscious scarcity mindset. And many of us will find ourselves continuing to cower down or continuing to limit our potential of who we are because you really want to hold on to this relationship. And so I loved that she gave voice to that. And she showed her own humanity in these places so we really could talk about it and use it as a real mirror for ourselves to be able to grow and reflect this morning. Lisa went on to say, I've come to realize that now that romantic relationships are really mirrors for how we're showing up in our own lives, that we show your humanity towards others, our needs that must be met, and our desire to serve and give back. For example, when I was in a relationship, I discovered more about the level of trust or the lack of that I have with people. When I'm inside of a relationship, I see my willingness to release or my desire to hold on tight. I see whether I'm a good leader or a better follower, or ideally whether I have achieved a healthy balance between the two. Relationships, Janine, are here to build your muscle of companionship and understanding, but they're also here to help us build our muscle of healthy boundaries. Do I say yes only when I want to say yes? And do I understand what it means to say no? And I just think this is just such a powerful, powerful communication for us just to be able to have this morning in regards to our romantic relationships. Now, I just love how she gave so much voice to it. But not even just in this part, right, because we can just look at it from one spectrum. But I love the second part that she did where she learned from her friend Iyana Van Sant about the three different types of romantic relationships. And this is where I really want to spend some time and really get us to open up our minds and talk about our breakthrough team and, you know, the understanding of relationships. So the first type of relationship she talked about was a lifetime relationship. And this is a person that no matter what you do, this person is going to last forever. Now, there's going to be different points in time, so you might grow beyond one another, but you typically balance each other back out. It's going to be rocky, but there's nothing you really can do. This is going to be a person that will be in your life for the rest of your life, right? Then you also have the life-giving relationships, and these are still talking about our romantic relationships. And our life-giving relationships, on the other hand, don't last very long. In fact, they typically range from a one-time meeting or a two-year relationship, but rarely more than that. They're designed to put spark back into you and remind you it's not over for you just yet. They put you back in the game and they ask, spring to your step. They remind you that you're still attractive and you're still sexy and you still got it, right? I love those. The short-term vibes remind you of your value, too, and remind you not to settle. They force you to get out of your head and start living in your body again. And I think that's really important. And that I believe, just being transparent with you, family, that's one of my biggest lessons of all, is staying out of my head and feeling from my heart and living from my heart. Because truly, that's the space where I'm number one, most creative, but I'm most satisfied at the end. It's a very passionate place, and sometimes it makes us all scared. If you're anything like me, it can make you scared living in that place because it's easier just to live from your head and look at stats and numbers, and, you know, you're like, oh, well, is the risk going to be worth it? But the whole point of us being on the earth plane is to truly live from our heart. And then we have purposeful relationships. In purposeful relationships, the most prevalent type, this is when for a year or more, and sometimes decades, you and your romantic partner are teetered together, working side by side for a specific purpose. Perhaps the relationship came together in order to raise your children, build a business together, help each other grow, help yourself out of a bad situation, get a good start in life, teach you to set healthy boundaries, or teach you how to love. It's not that you went into the relationship that way, right, Janine, with this agenda, but that's the reality that you're living anyway. And I'm sure when we really look over our lives or over certain relationships, you're able to see those purposeful relationships. Here's the thing. When it's a purposeful relationship and it's fulfilled, the relationship will likely end. Unfortunately, turmoil happens, and we try to turn a purposeful relationship into a lifetime one. For this reason, purposeful relationships cause the most turbulence and discord, the most frustration and hurt. What we don't always recognize, but should, because it's a constant feature of the purposeful relationship, is that once the purpose has been fulfilled, the relationship changes and it never goes back to the way it was. Some people spend a lifetime trying to regain the former warmth, affection, and intimacy in the once purposeful relationship. For example, she gave, when the kids go off to college, oftentimes a husband and a wife will finally stop and listen. They'll hit the epiphany that, hey, I really don't necessarily like being with this person. I don't want to be in this relationship. And then she also gave an example of even in your job, if you decide to move on, it's an end to the relationship with grace and ease, leaving your partner's dignity. I'm sorry, she said, it is our job. If you decide to move on, to end the relationship with grace and ease, leaving your partner's dignity intact so that the story is told at the end of your days or your partner could be sitting in the audience and you both feel honored and served. And I thought that that was really, really important, and that was the point I really wanted to highlight in this purposeful relationship, because so many times we look at things from a breakup point of view, and I love how she was able to reframe these things for us. Because the purposeful relationship is just one of the three types that we do encounter. If you never looked at the romantic relationship from this perspective, doing so now will give you much greater peace of mind. And I think that's the purpose of us living an abundant life. So many times we tell stories of, oh, the relationship ended, oh, I got divorced, or after the kids left, or whatever the case may be, or, oh, we broke up, and then it makes us feel broken. Because who wouldn't feel broken if you broke up with somebody? But I love how she gives us the reframe in this chapter, Janine, for us to move forward and say, from this day forward, she don't want us to use the word broke up again, but instead say we're complete because we accomplished, right? So, like, if you and your spouse raise your kids together, or let's say you only had a child together, instead of saying you broke up, we can now use the words we're complete because we have our child. We're complete because we raised our children together. We're complete because we taught one another how to love. We're complete because, and you add whatever that because is or whatever your lesson was in that. When using the word complete, it just feels better, and it reframes the end of the relationship in a way that affirms us both. Partner is not broken. There was no breakup, only a completion. Not only does this give us a level of tranquility about our past relationship, but it allows us to trust again. And I think that's the most powerful part, is ending it in a very affirming way to our soul, that we're not consciously telling our unconscious person that we're breaking up and we're leaving parts of who we are and our identity out there in the universe. It's just a completion of that cycle. And it allows us to really trust again and not project our previous experiences into the next opportunity. What did everyone else think about that with the three relationships, and even looking at it from trying the exercise of, instead of saying we broke up, but our relationship has complete because... Press star 6 if you're on a teleconference, or press 1 if you're on Blog Talk.
Well, for me, I thought that was a beautiful way to language it, because so many times we do find ourselves at the end of a journey, and people want to question, you know, like I remember when Patti LaBelle broke up with her husband, they had been together 40 years, and people wanted to question the idea of them breaking up after 40 years of being married, and it was complete, and I love this, you know, language. It's just complete. It doesn't mean bad, good, indifferent, just complete. I'm at an end and ready for a next chapter. And so for me, I love the languaging, because it does give you a certain feeling of peace and tranquility. And it also gives me the idea that I can still be friends with the person that I no longer am in that type of relationship. But we're in a different journey now, and I love it. For me, I love it.
Yeah, and I think that's the powerful part of it, Janine, is just ending it and just looking at it as a place of completion. And then it does give you that freedom to say, okay, well, we can be cool, we can be friends, or however you want to look at it. But most importantly, it leaves us with a positive affirmation in our own soul, instead of saying, like, we broke up, or what happened, or the marriage failed, or any of those type of notions that just don't serve our highest good. So I love that you even brought up Miss Patti LaBelle's relationship, because that is a lot if you're not able to just look at it in a place of completion, that we did. We served each other for 40 years, and now this has just come to an end. It's just run its course. All right. So the next thing she did point out to us is assemble your breakthrough team. Once you have mastered your personal relationships and built a community of people who support you, it's time to assemble your core team who will help you create major breakthroughs in your life, your career, and your business. Even if your business is being a stay-at-home parent, a nonprofit volunteer, or an upwardly mobile corporate employee, or even a college student. Who should be on your breakthrough team? Yes, this is important. Your breakthrough team should consist of 3 to 5 people that I call your foxhole friends. people who are on the battlefield with you in the foxhole, watching your back. They're willing to run when you run, walk when you get tired, and drag you when you quit. And I think that's so, so, so important to have these foxhole people. They are willing to hold you accountable to the person you say you want to become. And
yes,
I said
yes.
it that way because that is so, so important. And that's how I felt about it, Janine, because we have to have that. It's so easy for people to say or excuse mediocre behavior. But if that's not who I said I want to be, darn it, I'm going to hold you accountable. I'm going to hold you accountable to who you said you wanted to be. And I think it's important that we have mirror images of friends and relationships that remind us of who we say we want to be. Yes, absolutely, enjoy the moment. Yes, absolutely, live from your heart. Absolutely, enjoy the things of that. However, if there's moments in time where you just don't feel strong enough, you still have to have that foxhole friend that reminds you, this is not where you quit. This is not who you said you are. You said this. And remind you of the plan and purposes of God over your life. And I just love that. I think that's really, really powerful for us just to remember. While these may be professional advisors, your lawyer, your accountant, or your life coach, usually they're people who are willing to dream big with you, darn too. They're people you can speak your intentions to. They hold your vision. You can reach out to them in your SOS moment. They have the emotional capacity, the physical capacity, and in some cases the financial capacity to handle your breakdowns. It's not uncommon for your breakthrough team to include at least one family member, such as a really supportive parent or a sibling or even your spouse, if the relationship is a lifetime relationship. And if you're a business owner, your breakthrough team should include professionals who are in a position to advise you or protect you, but who are close and caring enough to allow you to break down in front of them and will hold it against you. Come on, God. Thank you. Your breakthrough team should also have no agenda other than to see you achieve your goals. And that's really, they're not looking for anything from you. They're not expecting to build something off of you. They're not going to color their advice with their own interests. They'll give it to you straight. And I'm just reading it slow like that, family, and just emphasizing those things because it's really, really important. And that's how this information came back across, even as a reminder to me, because it's really, really important that we're choosing our relationships and these foxhole friendships really wisely, because we don't want people that's going to color it their advice based on what they're trying to receive from us or how they're able to build. But just giving it to us straight, reminding us of our goals and the plans and purposes of God over our lives that we have spoken out loud. People that can handle our emotional breakdowns or even be there for us financially during that time, especially as a business owner, having people that I can confide in and not feel like I have to always be picture perfect in front of you, but have that moment and those aha moments where things just ain't looking right. And I appreciate the relationships that I have like that, that give me the vulnerability, go over examples and business together, what worked for somebody else and for me to try it, and vice versa. I think it's very healthy, and I love it, and I just want to remind us of the importance of relationships. So Lisa gave us an example of her breakthrough team includes her mentor, Pete, an executive manager, Margaret Packer, who holds her accountable for doing God's work. And then she just talks about the things that Margaret do at her company. But when she sit down and she lie down or she fall down on the job or when she crumbles, she'll get back on her face and remind her, Lisa, of who she is and what she was born to be. She won't stop until she stand up. And that's the type of people that we have to have in our lives that are true rocket boosters that remind us. Because we're going to have those moments, family. Especially in anything that we're doing, I don't want to just say especially in business, I almost said that, but in anything that we're doing, because even if we're climbing the corporate ladder, going from one position to another can still be just as scary as a person like me growing my business from one capacity to another or reaching into a greater market or stretching myself further. There'll be times that you'll have breakdowns And before everyone sees the breakthrough, there's a crumble, there's a breakdown. And so it's important to have those foxhole friends to remind you when you're having that breakdown that you can do it. You was born to do it. And so it's really important to have those. And I'm just eternally grateful for the people that I do have in my life that understand those things and pull me or just remind me of the promises of God over my own life and just many of the visions that I have spoken. Even if you're a stay-at-home parent, you need a breakthrough team. Not only do she recommend that a person who's a stay-at-home parent, you should recruit at least 3 to 4 Rocket Booster friends, but she also recommends that you recruit a seasoned older parent to provide you wisdom and help you forecast what's around the corner. If your child is 5 years old, that parent should be 35 years old. Make sure the parent you select who has raised children through multiple seasons and has made a stable marriage. But be sure to choose an older parent based on the relationship that they have with their children. And I think that is so ideal and key. Many parents have basic points down, but what if the adult children don't speak to them? That's a red flag. And so let me just bring this up, and I'm really, really conscious about who I take advice from in certain areas and a lot of different things. So I'll use Janine. I'm going to use you as an example again this morning because a lot of times people want to speak into a situation. Now, if you've been parenting just as long as I've been parenting, most likely your voice, I'm not really. we can share stories, right? However, advice is not something that you're really able to give me. I'm a very seasoned thinking woman, so I need credibility, and credibility is only gained through experience. So when I'm really having my moments that I don't understand quite what's going on, and I don't want the emotional attachment that my mom may have with her grandchild, I'll reach out to the Janines of the world, because the beautiful thing that I pay attention to, and Janine, I don't know if I've even said that to you, but the thing that I do pay attention to is how long a person has parented and how transparent you're going to be in those relationships when you're talking to me about it. Don't just tell me to hold on and you ain't keeping it real about the good, bad, and the ugly of your own life. And then on top of that, to be able to see your children still have an absolutely close relationship with you through the good, the bad, and the real ugly. That speaks volumes. Because people have a lot to say, but darn it, when your kids don't speak to you after they're adults, baby, you can't speak in my life. You can't speak in my life. And I'm really not interested in what you have to say about any relationship until you heal the relationship that you have with those who came from your mom that you raised. So I just really wanted to highlight that and the importance. And Janine, just thank you for being who you are and just being as transparent as you are, because it gives us all something just to remind ourselves of, and just pushing ourselves. And then she gave us just other examples here in the book of, even if you're a 9-to-5 employee, your breakthrough team might include someone who achieved the corporate success you're going for, who's climbed the ladder at your own workplace or elsewhere, in addition to the Rocket Booster friends, right? So, but also consider adding a life mentor, since people who achieve significant corporate success aren't always the best advisors for creating a life of balance and harmony. And so that's really important, too, that even if you're just doing the corporate 9-to-5, right, you really must have someone that you're talking to who has achieved the level of success that you're attempted, to achieve at this job. You can't keep talking to the same people that's on your level or that have not made it to where you're attempting to go, because it's a limited skew of advice that they're actually able to give you. And so I love how she gave us just so many examples of staying aware, staying grounded, keeping up with our rocket booster friends, and just understanding that we need all of our relationships for us to be able to grow and to be able to really thrive from. And so the next step in this was visualizing an amazing relationship, but it looks like we're already past the top of the hour. Did anyone have anything that they wanted to add in regards to assembling your breakthrough team or just getting an aha for naming the types of three romantic relationships?
Hey girl, a text that came in. One, I want to say, you want me to cry this morning, huh, Miss Lady? You just want tears all down my face, huh? Well, he got a text. She said, let me get my eyes straight. She said, how easy is it to really find those type of rocket boosts that will be there and be all the way, dive down into the spaces with you and pull you back up? She said she don't feel like it's been an easy process to find those types of relationships. So she wants to know, how do you position yourself to find those kind of relationships?
Did you want to answer it for
her? Oh, okay. You know, I didn't want to. Well, the first thing I would ask myself is, am I that type of person? I believe in order to have those type of relationships, you got to come that deep too. You know what I mean? I believe that. And I believe that you have to sit with yourself and actually be intentional about finding those relationships. But I believe that you have to come in with the relationship to be that type of person. Will you be willing to sit and go and dive that deep with somebody? Will you be willing to be that person for somebody when they're down? And so if you want that type of relationship, I think you got to go in and ask, what level of friendship are you actually given to attract the kind of friendships that you desire in your life or the type of rocket booster relationships you want? And so first thing I would do is sit with myself and ask myself, what is it that I really want in order to take my life to the next level? And then what characteristics in a person will I need to attract in order to take myself there? And will I be willing to do the same in order to attract that in my life? So I would sit with myself and write in my journal. First thing I would start with is, what is keeping me from developing the type of relationships that I desire? What blocks, what trust, what mistrust, what forgiveness do I need to do in order to remove those blocks in order to attract and magnetize that type of relationship in my life? Most of the time when we don't attract or have those relationships, it's usually be blocked because we don't trust. Because we haven't forgiven something that has happened before, you know. So that's what I would say. You want to add anything, Chad?
Yeah, I think that's powerful. I think that it goes back to exactly what Lisa was saying, even in the book. Our relationships are really mirrors to where we're at in our lives. And if we're not experiencing a certain level, that really is a reflection of who we are. So, like, for myself, being absolutely transparent, I know I learned the most from my romantic relationships. My sister friends, I love them, and they're my girls, and my best friend, I'm able to learn an absolute different type of intimacy, and my daughter teaches me something completely different, too. But with girlfriends, it's cool. It's a very safe place, right? But my romantic relationships, oh, my God. That's when I realized that I say one thing, but, baby, I don't trust you for real. I don't trust. And but that's where it shows up at. And so then it gives me the opportunity to say, ooh, that don't look cute. What you tripping on? What's up? And it gives me the opportunity to do some writing. And to clear and to heal and to look at what's fueling that conversation in that moment in my head and to grow as a woman so I'm able to expand my territory and attract to me the love and the desire and the companionship that I really do deserve and I really do want. So I believe everything does go back to us. And when you feel like you're missing something in particular, look at how you're showing up in your own life. If you feel like you're not receiving something deep or of substance, it always goes back to us. And it's very, it doesn't feel sexy to do the work. But once you have done the work and you're on the other side of that breakthrough, it is so worth it. It's definitely so worth it.
I totally agree. You know, I want to ask something if you don't mind.
Oh, sure.
I love what you just said about your intimate relationships, because I being in a relationship for 32 years, didn't really think about, you know, the area of healing in terms of men and women, because, you know, oh, well, I got it going on decent, you know, whatever. You know,
mm-hmm,
not to say
mm-hmm.
that we had the perfect relationship and that we didn't have
mm-hmm.
our ups and downs, but, you know, I didn't really think there needed to be some healing. So I'm sitting in this class healing the follow wounds because I just, you know, want to educate myself so I can help. And so she asked us to go inside and name our male energy. So when I went inside, my male energy, Mustafa came to my mind.
Mm.
It felt strong. It felt good. Every time I even say Mustafa, it just do something inside my body, right? So I'm sitting there, and we got our candles. So now once we got our name, we had to ask, what's the first place of healing that we needed to heal? And guess what Mustafa said to Ms. Janine? Trust. I was like, whoa. That was like a big slap in the face for me because it felt right, even though I was like, wow. After being in a relationship for 32 years, I still need to trust my inner male energy, because she said every relationship outside of us is a reflection of our inner male, right? And I was like, wow. So it was just really I could go on and on about the breakthrough in just naming my inner male and really working with my inner male, because at first I felt numb to it. You know, she was doing all this, and I was like, oh, I had no breakthrough. But then when I named my inner male, and then, you know, I started talking to Mustafa, and Mustafa started telling me where I need to heal my inner masculine, I was like, oh, wow. And it felt like, wow. I didn't realize I was numb to that place in my inner male energy. One of the things that Mustafa said too to me about trust is sometimes it's not even about our own trust relationships. It's the stuff that we cycle down from other women in our generational that we hear, well, you can't, you know, well, you know, and you know me and this. And then we take that story and live it out as we grow into our adulthood. I was like, you're right, Mustafa.
I
just wanted to share that.
That's powerful. Thank you so much for sharing that. It's true, though. I think what's really cool is the fact that even though you've been in your relationship with your husband for over 30 years, that you're still willing to even take courses. Like, and the cool thing is, what I think is so dope about your story is you actually thought you were taking the course so you can serve better and be a better life coach. So I love how the universe works in that aspect. I think we're doing something like, oh, if I take this, I can show up better and I can guide other people through it. And the whole time the universe is guiding us for our own breakthrough first, like, woo, and then we show up better for other people. So I think that's pretty dope. That's a pretty cool story, because I swear that's the testament of my life. I always think I'm doing something for one reason, and then I get there, and I'm like, God, I ain't come here for this. Hello. I came because I was trying to. All right, that's cool. But I think that is awesome, though. I think that's awesome for us to be able to understand and really harness our duality as feminine and masculine energy.
Yes, yes. Girl, you just hitting on so many points today. I can't even tell you how many times, because even the sunrise service, the year we did the healing in inner masculine, it was funny when I was standing in front of the people, sign behind me, and Spirit said, we're going to do healing the masculine energy next year. All right, that's what's going to be the theme for next year, right? So all the stuff I went through, thinking, you know, all the stuff that was happening in the world, I'm like, oh, yeah, we on to something this year. And it was really all about me healing my own inner masculine. It wasn't about what was happening in the world to our men as much as it was about me healing my own inner masculine. I'm thinking, oh, yeah, we're going to take the men, put them inside the circle. We're going to pray over the men. And the women going to be out. You know, I got this whole thing thinking I'm running it down, baby, for the land, for the nation. And, babe, it was just about Janine healing the inner nation of her own male energy. I was like, whew.
Come on now. Mm-hmm. Come on now. Ain't that something? Ain't that something? And that's the funny part. That's how it typically goes. We think we doing one thing, and then it shows up as something else. But in the midst of it all, we still have to have our core people that's there that help us and that guide us through it, even as we're pulling through it, and somebody to be able to share those experiences with as we continue to go from one level to another, or glory to glory, as some people like to call it, having those foxhole friends and those great relationships. Well, this was absolutely awesome here this morning on Millionaire Mom Conversation Cafe. Past the top of the hour here, I will hand the mic back to you. I am Chastity A. Wells, your licensed insurance broker here on the line. If you have any questions in regards to any of your financial needs for insurance, whether it's protecting your loved ones or even planning for retirement or looking at how do you use insurance before you actually pass with accelerated death benefit riders, if you ever are diagnosed with cancer or a terminal illness, I'm actually able to help with that. You're able to reach out to me directly at 614-230-6600. You're able to call or text me at that number at 614-230-6600. I am on all social media platforms to be able to assist you. And there's only one T in my name, so it's Chastity A. Wells, C-H-A-S-I-T-Y. And remember, family, to live your God-sized dreams. While we are living our God-sized dreams, make sure, family, we are taking along with us the appropriate friends that's going to just remind us to be our greatest version of ourselves and our great lesson for this weekend for us to try out. Instead of talking about the breakup that we had, we didn't have a breakup. We didn't have a divorce, y'all. Our relationship was complete because we accomplished what? Whether it was having a kid, raising a kid, sending the kids to college, building a business. Reframe it. And let's just see the projected energy that we can put out into the world by just a few of us just owning it this weekend and actually reframing it. Janine, thank you so much for the opportunity to be able to serve on the Love Journey and sharing my own personal growth as we are going through Millionaire Mind Conversation Cafe. Thank you again.
All right. Thank you for this mind-blowing conversation this morning. Woo! Healing that inner masculine. Yes, yes, yes. That's been a journey. When I thought I was doing good, you made me think today. Thank you so much. I love learning, growing, and expanding. It's really really powerful, but yeah, it hurts sometimes, but it's still good when it's all said and done. I love what Chastity reminded us that once we get on the other side, whew, I tell you, ain't nothing like it. Ain't nothing like it. But you got to get to the other side. I heard this guy speak yesterday. He said, if you're going through hell, he said, just keep going. He said, keep going and hurry up and get the hell out of there. All right, family, that's funny to me. All right, we're going to keep on going and keep on moving. Tomorrow, Christ Universal Temple 11901 is airing the movie As a Man Thinketh at 12 o'clock to 3 o'clock. They're going to be discussing as a man thinking, the science of the mind, family. It's going to be, it's free admission, question and answer after the movie. It's going to be a conversation. And for those of you who are looking for rocket booster type friends, this might be a place to start developing new relationships of like-minded people. That's at Christ Universal Temple, 11901 South Ashland. And that's going to be at 12 o'clock. And, of course, you don't want to miss a great opportunity. The movie As a Man Thinketh is a filmmaker by John Miller, and the film is a narrative and a documentary. There will be some presenters in there, Dr. Michael Beckwith, Reverend Dr. Sheila McKeaton, Reverend Sherry James, Reverend David Alexander, Edwina Gaines, just some of the presenters in the documentary, and you don't want to miss this opportunity to have a conversation, be around like-minded people, and begin to situate yourself in new environments so that you can start to attract the people that you desire to be your rocket booster team, breakthrough team. That's what it was called, breakthrough team. So I just want to remind you, if you're available, no seriousness, but I thought you might want to know, As a Man Thinketh, that's from the book by James Allen, As a Man Thinketh. That's tomorrow at 12 o'clock. Just want to remind your family that your life is a gift from God, and what you do with your life is a gift back to God. Remember to choose love. Love is the only choice, family, and reminding you, just like our beautiful Chastity said, don't just dream. Live your God-sized dream. You only get this time to do it in this way. So do it, family, because the power is in you, and it only works if you work it. I'm going to leave you with Zap. It's going to be all right, family. All right. Have a great weekend. See you on Monday. Cash Flow Monday. Taking you back, way back, family. Some of y'all don't know nothing about this. This is Zap.